Today is an interesting day. Today, throughout the United States, there's all kinds of families getting together to have gatherings and have people over, and they're going to have turkey and ham, and you know who knows what all they're going to have. And I said to my family yesterday, I said, you know what? I think it's kind of neat. Do you know what the number one selling meat is in the United States for Easter? Ham, pork. What's the one thing that Jewish people aren't supposed to eat? Pork. Talk about anti-Semitism. And you think I'm joking. You know, Kathy just chuckled because that's the whole thing. That's why it's been done. It's to be that separation. And we need to remember there's something about this day. Now, that doesn't mean throw your ham out when you go home, okay? Pastor's not saying that. Have a good ham meal when you get home. Just remember that these little things are the things that have robbed us of the realities that we have in God and understanding His will and His way. Because our world has a way, all right? We are going to see family gatherings all over the place. You're going to go down the road here as you leave church, and you're going to see gatherings at every house, and you're going to think to yourself, huh, I wonder if they were at church this morning. Well, I bet they weren't at church, because look at that. The kids are out there hunting Easter eggs, and it just so amazes me, because as a nation, we get together to celebrate Easter. Why? This is a Christian holiday. If you ain't a Christian, go to work. It's just like Christmas. It's a Christian holiday. If you aren't a Christian, go to work. But as a nation, we take it off, and we say, oh, well, it's spring break. No, it's not. This is Holy Week. This is Passover Week. This is Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Because we have a glory to speak about. We have a joy that is unending. We know a truth that has set us free, and this world does not hold us any more than the grave holds Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's where we need to be, and that's what we need to hold on to. What is this day? What is wrong with this world? What is going on? Dear God, give us a word. For where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know Him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs. Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world to be despised by these things, and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom of God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. When I came to you, dear brothers, I did not come with eloquent or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with the wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. To Him bring glory. Amen. Amen. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Not that I have already obtained all this, or that I have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold for that which Christ Jesus took hold of me, brothers. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God called Christ heavenward, called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is already to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls, to the praise and glory of Jesus Christ. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, searched intently and with greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when He predicted the sufferings of God's Christ to the glories that would follow Him. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. For even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Christ Jesus is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so too be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in this land, in reverent fear, for you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but has been revealed in these last times for your sake. Through Him you may have believed in God, and He raised Him from the dead and glorified Him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all the glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that we preach to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babes, crave spiritual milk, pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up into your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to Him, the living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into the spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in the Scriptures it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy, which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits. Blessed be the word of the Lord. Amen. Do you realize everything I just spoke to you, every word, with the exception of a couple hallelujahs and praise God, they were all His words. Not one of them was mine. It so amazes me that we live in a world that fills itself with its own words, when God has given us the greatest words that we could ever hope for. His word. He's given us Jesus Christ. And this Sunday, I can tell you right now, there's going to be pastors in every pulpit giving how-to sermons. When folks, the only message I have to give to you today is the grave is empty. The tomb does not hold Him. He is resurrected. He is not here. He is seated on the right hand of God, and He is coming again to the glory of God. And hallelujah! Because that's the message we have. He is alive. The world. Christianity. Christendom. He's going to give all kinds of messages today. There's only one message. I just read it. Now, hopefully I did more than read it. I gave you the heart of the message in my emotion as well, because I read that from me, from the Spirit of the Lord in me, as best I could. Because folks, that's the message that we have to give to this world. What's today all about? You know, I said it earlier, this is our day. Today is our day, right? Today is our day. Folks, every day is our day. We live in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It didn't happen once and now it's forgotten. It happened once and now everyone who believes may come into that resurrection and live in that power, live in that joy, live in that strength, live in that sinlessness, and be changed. We live out here in a world that is going after itself, devouring itself in such ways that you and I would not even want to look at. How many of us love turning on the news at night just to see all the wonderful things that our world has done and all the great things that people are doing in this world? It amazes me. You don't hear the good stuff on TV. Every now and then they might throw something in. You know, I saw one here the other day, this little boy, he's 3 years old and he's golfing. You know, and I thought, well, that's great, that's cute. You know, that's one of those cutesy pieces, right? But 90% of the news was about the destruction that's been happening, about kids shooting kids, about murders here and murders there, and fires and arson and all this stuff. Wars and rumors of wars. Brothers and sisters, we have a message. We have something to tell people that's going to change their lives. The world keeps telling us stuff that digs a deeper hole. Did you ever notice that? That's why I just chuckle. You know, I said to Lynn on my way here, I said, it amazes me, you know, how many families are going to gather together and they're going to have Easter Sunday. And, oh, it was such a wonderful family gathering. That's great. Did you invite God? Did Jesus have anything to do with it? Was there a reason why you were there? Well, it's Easter Sunday. Yeah, what's that mean to you? You and I need to recognize that today is just another day. in the resurrection. The resurrection happened 2,000 years ago. And until the day he comes again, we live in resurrection. And we have something to tell people. We have something to get out there to the people. And this is what I just read. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew. The book of Matthew. Verses 18 through 20. I think we all know these, don't we? Let's read them together. Verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You know, it's amazing. We look at that and we say, oh, that's the Great Commission. You know, the church needs to be about missions and getting out there and doing this stuff. And we treat it as a sometimes thing. Brothers and sisters, this is resurrection. This is a resurrected life. This is what we're to be doing in a resurrected life. Are we doing this? Are you going to be out there today when you meet your family and meet your friends and all that good stuff? And are you going to tell them about Jesus Christ? Or are you just going to sit there and eat ham? Filling. We have a message. In the eyes of the world, this is our day. Use it. Use it, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, use it. But I want you to remember something. Tomorrow is another resurrection day, and the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that. It is not once and done. This is not just our day. Every day is our day in Jesus Christ. He's given them to us, all of them, every one of them. We have the authority over them. How do I know that? Because Jesus said, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Now go." We have a message to tell. We have a life to live. And that, to me, is the most amazing thing. Because you don't need to go out there. You don't need to know this book through and through. But this book needs to know you. This book has to know you. How many of you can say that? Does the Bible know you? Does the Word of God know you? That means, does Jesus have a personal relationship with you? Does He know you're inside and out? You know, we look at it and we say, "Lord, I don't know everything in there. I've read that book several times. I've read it several times too. In fact, I'm reading it through again for my master's." And the reality is, I find that every time I read it, I find more things out about God. But you know what? He knows everything about me already. He's just waiting for me to catch up. He's waiting for you to catch up. Because there's a whole lot of people out there that need to know who He is in our lives. But the only way you're going to find out, dear brothers and sisters, is if you let them in now. Because there's a day coming when it's going to close. And the Word will be no more. And that's going to be a dreadful day. A great and fearful day. This is our day. And not just this day, but every day. From this day forward until He comes again. This is our day. The Scripture is very clear on that, and I want you to look at those words. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. Before we read this word, I want to ask you a question. Is Jesus Christ alive in your life? is Jesus Christ alive in your life? I'm asking a question. It's not rhetorical.
Yes.
I see a couple heads nodding. Some people just aren't quite sure. Is Jesus Christ alive in your life? I think you're talking yourselves into it. Is Jesus Christ alive in your life?
Yes.
I think one guy got it. Is Jesus Christ alive in your life? From verse 1. Therefore, as God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. And we are living in that day. This is our day, and that day is not a yom. It is an age. A yom is a single day, 24 hours. This is our age. This is the age of the church. And the world has robbed it from us. And it's time to take back some territory, people. This is our day. This is the day of Jesus Christ. And we have a message to tell to the nations. You and I need to be out there every day blowing our trumpet, Miss Noel. You and I need to be out there every day teaching them what it means to be a disciple in Christ. Not necessarily by thumping the Bible, but by living the resurrected life that each and every one of us have. When people look at you, do they see the resurrection of Jesus Christ in you? Do they see a new life? Do they see a new birth? Do they see a newness that they're looking at and saying, what makes that guy tick? What makes that woman's step just pep, just that much more? What's going on in them that gives them such spirit? You know, our world's looking for spiritual things right now. You know, right now, what's going on in the movie theaters? In fact, Rick just told me today, I don't know where Brother Rick is, but Rick just told me today that this weekend, guess what the number one box office movie was? No. Is Heaven Real? It beat out Johnny Depp's movie. Amen. We live in a world that is spiritually hungry. Hollywood is making money on the Bible. Hollywood is trying to make money on God. What did Peter tell the sorcerers? You have no part with us. Because all they wanted it for was to make money. You and I have a message that's free and a message that brings the reality of that hope that everyone out there is looking for. People are flocking to see Noah. They're flocking to see God is not dead. They're flocking to see the movies out there right now that are speaking to the spiritual heart. Folks, you are that spiritual heart. God has given it to you through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything I read to you today from the Scriptures should be bringing the greatest joy you've ever known, even in the midst of our greatest despair. Amen, Miss Kathy? Because it's in that, when someone sees where we are and knows the hurt and the pain in our lives, though we may have to suffer all kinds of trials, we know the joy. We spoke about that today in discipleship class. Why do you think I said, what's the difference between happiness and joy? Happiness is fleeting. Happiness is something that's here and gone. Joy in Jesus Christ lasts forever. It can't be taken from you lest you give it up. And I'm going to give up my joy. I'm going to give it up to you and to you and to you and to an entire world out there, because when I give it up in that manner, God pours it all back in to the overflowing greatness of His love and compassion. And that's what you and I need to understand. What is Resurrection Sunday all about? Is it about my personal relationship with Jesus Christ? No. Jesus Christ rose to save the world. And He's given the message to you. Now, this Easter Sunday, Are you going to just go eat ham? Or are you going to feast on the bread of life? Are you going to feast on the cup of our salvation? And are you going to make it available to somebody else that they can know the joy that we have? Jesus Christ is alive!
Hallelujah.
He is risen. He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
Then rise up, O creatures of God, and speak those words unto a world that is needing and wanting. For you have the words of life. You have the hope of the world. Jesus Christ in you, the glory of God, that man may be free. Praise His name. Is there a reason you're sitting? We should be up and about and doing and being.